Oh,
girl.
My God.
It's the point of no return. And we're going to expose everything about this episode.
Mm-hmm. This week, there's 30-second Skitscat commercials promoting RuPaul's Glamazon makeup line. And please, respect the product. These are real commercials. Don't say pussy.
Right. We know a thing or two about commercials over here at Drag Chasers. So some of these were good.
And the pit crew also appeared with a rolling cart of fruit, which nobody coughed like a man on.
Woof, 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 woof. RuPaul's dress this week. Try and describe it without using the word glamazon.
You can't. So sit back, relax, put the plug in, and we're going to talk about another episode of Classica.
Forever.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome back to Race Chaser Classique, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, bitch, starting we got from the Tootsie Roll pop out.
Starting from the very beginning.
My name's Willow. Beginning. What's yours? Oh, okay. Oh, I
she
did the beginning
sing.
Part.
Sorry, this is the beginning, love it, da, 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 over and over.
I got
Internet,
so confused.
Video, television, stereo.
The Tootsie Pop owl came and plucked the words right out of my mouth.
This
is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours, my love?
Oh, hello, I'm Willem.
Why don't you tell us what happened last week?
So last week,
we're talking about this show. It's called Drag Race. It's called RuPaul's Drag Race. We're talking about season 6.
Drag programming at its above average to finest. I said a hip hop, the hippie to the hippie to the hip pads, hip hop, pop, pop, pop pads.
Bring out the rapping granny.
Last week, the Rutang clan and the other raptresses got into reading in the mini challenge and then writing in the main challenge because they performed original rap verses to RuPaul's song, Oh No, She Better Don't. And guest judges Trina and Eve guided the gals through some fumbling rap takes with some clunkers. But in the end, the song was a bop. Adore won the top prize. A look at my body in my brand new corset.
Girl crushed.
And Milk and Trinity K. Bonet were in the bottom, but Trinity had her legs open from 7 to 7, and she solidified
like 7-Eleven.
She had her assassin lip syncer status seared into the brains of everybody because she sent Milk past her past due date, and she went home.
Poor Leche.
She said, "The milk is chunky. Pour it out."
Honey, that's silk. It's soy milk, honey. It's silk.
Honey, she was feeling oatly.
Silk with the good milk. We get the lipstick message from Milk, which says, "It's milking time." Love you, girls. Big plus scary forever, and a small drawing of udders. Mm-hmm. Sort of like not unlike Maxi Shield's sign off message, which was an M made into a pair of tits.
Oh, man.
For those of you watching down under.
Spoilistra.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Yeah. No, I think she could take the crown. Adore is getting some congratulations from the other divas. Courtney, she says she's a bit miffed.
Courtney Miffington. Miffington Heather Hamilton.
She thinks RuPaul thinks that she is relying on pretty, but she's put in so much effort and talent otherwise.
Maybe she's just blinded by my beauty.
Truly.
Trinity,
right. I mean, she has an ongoing conflict with herself, which, girl, what... Anyone at that age, she's very young running into this competition, and she's struggling with, like, she's really beating herself up over ending up in the bottom. And Bianca says, "Snap out of it, fag," pretty much.
I feel like Trinity's age is a hindrance in this, because by the time you're like 28, 30, you've done all these things that they're asking right. you to do. You've done little songs. You've done like
yeah.
TV news where you're like, oh, this is where the camera is. I know how to cheat out. You've done the pride parades where you're
exactly.
like, you've, and she's just
drunk
has
on
less-
a car on the back of a car. Back of a car.
You just have more life experiences to pull from. So I understand yes. that, like, as a youngster, she was kind of fish out of water. But
exactly.
Bianca just tells her to stop complaining about everything and just do it. And right. it's one of those things where you need to listen to your elders, because if not, they're going to keep saying it.
Absolutely. And Bianca will not let you forget it. There are only 8 girls left out of 14. Remember Magnolia?
Honey, I played her in the revival, in the Race Chaser Photons.
You did. You did it. Appearing in the illusion of Magnolia Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
We get a video message from Mother RuPaul saying, a queen's empire has to start with a strong foundation, a smoky eye, and a cherry lip. So put your money where your mouth is. Hey, it's worth it. And so am I.
Baby, I'm worth it. I'm worth it.
Baby, I'm worth it.
That's it. Never mind. Ru comes right into this workroom. She doesn't even bother to knock. She
Love
says,
the outfit. RuPaul, you've done it again. Damn, Daniel. Always turning it with the clothes. I live for the garments.
Mm-hmm. The queens are told for their mini challenge, they're going to lend a hand to Michelle Obama's Let's Move initiative by making fruits and vegetables sexy and appealing.
Oh, scruff pit crew. Woof, 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 woof.
Honey, you better not wear no shoes in my house.
What the absolute fuck is this mini challenge? Because this isn't a mini challenge where the queens have to do anything. It's a RuPaul mini challenge. RuPaul does voiceover jokes through the whole thing. All the girls have to do is put on hand drag, which we love handscapes.
Mm-hmm. I was very surprised that none of them took their assorted produce and titty fucked themselves. How did 8 girls not think of titty fucking themselves with a sweet potato, a banana? Where was the titty fucking? If you want to represent drag, you have to talk about the lack of titty fucking, because that would have been the first thing every girl did. No girl spit on her vegetable.
Who's having that conversation? Was the rutabaga silent, or was the rutabaga silenced?
Was the rutabaga on the cover of a Montreal Elle?
Or
was it the rutabaga?
Rutabaga.
Yeah.
You say rutabaga, I say rutabaga. Let's call the whole thing off. I bet there was titty fucking, because that is, I bet they just couldn't show it. It was probably too obscene.
Mm, that means they did it right.
I will say, though, and we need another ding on the counter, my love, Jocelyn's necklace makes an appearance.
Ding,
and
ding,
it looks
ding.
Great.
Honey, minis and mains. The half drag looks that these girls do are amazing. Bianca looks like a substitute teacher. And a smart one.
She does.
A smart one.
She put on a glass because she was like, I'm going to do drag today. She looks like a pair of glasses.
Very the substitute teacher that's like, you guys, we're going to watch a movie, so behave.
I'll wait.
Yeah. Darian looks like me on chat roulette when I used to put my titties on and try to scoop fries. Yeah.
Very that. I bet you made a lot of money in the pre-OnlyFans era.
I'm so glad RuPaul invested in chat roulette before everybody else did. That was one of her smartest business moves.
Well, I was invested in this challenge. No, I actually wasn't. This challenge is stupid as fuck.
You'd have to shave your knuckles. I doubt that.
I was watching intently, and they even grazed over the fact that Laganja was deemed the winner of this?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, and the winner is Laganja. Anyway, so we need to put you in pairings that have been predestined by Mish in order to create the most dynamic tension.
Yeah.
These pairings are shade.
Oh, shade.
Shade, bitch.
it grew an oak tree, and the oak tree was wearing a sun visor. That's how much shade there was.
It was the shade tree where a few people did confessionals.
Yeah. This is great because it's putting together all the rivalries that they've built up over the past six episodes. They have Adore and LaGanja being mean girls. Oh, well, first, the main challenge is basically, we all know, it's a makeup challenge. And it's a collab with RuPaul's Glamazon line by Color Evolution.
Yes.
And the queens have to create like 30-second little skit-scat commercial campaigns that targets today's woman. And the pairs of queens are Adore and Ganja, and they're going to be mean girls. You got Courtney and Jocelyn being hot mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca and Trinity targeting glamorous working ladies. And Darren and Dayla are targeting cougars. Which
team Trinyanka, team Delarian.
What's a Delarian?
Team Coslin and
Del Bonet,
Adaganja.
All these girls have had conflict together on the show so far.
Yes, they have.
They said, Mish, Jacqueline, we're all just going to poop in this pot. You want to poop in it? And then we're going to just
stir
it. We're not going to stir it. We're going to put a lid on it and shake it.
Get the big spoon. Get the big spoon. And
that's
LaGanja,
a ladle, not a spoon here.
LaGanja breaks it down for us. She says, Adore and I have an advantage because we have worked together in the outside world. I love LaGanja's interviews, bitch.
She is the sound bitress.
Honey, it's a sound meal.
Honey, it's a sound meal replacement.
The girls quickly get to work. Adore was raised right, she says, so she is laughing nervously at all of LaGanja's suggestions.
Yeah, it's one of those things where LaGanja's suggestions are all fine, but none of them are funny. And the goal with this is to be funny. Like, she has the basic gist of it, but like...
Yeah.
You know, you need the basic gist of it. You need some funny in there.
Yes.
Little humor sperms flying all over.
We also get the beginning of the... Well, it's not the beginning, but it's definitely the ramping up of the Courtney is an evil cunt edit, which is...
Sometimes reality TV tells the truth.
It's like Courtney jokes that, well, no one would believe that you'd be the after and the before and after. And instead of them having a chuckle, which is what sisters do, we sit around and call each other ugly cunts all day long, and then we have a good laugh about it. If you remove the laughter and put in scary music, it sounds really confronting and horrible.
I mean, it might have been for Jocelyn, because in her interview, she, over this course of the episode, she mentions that she's lost a little respect for Courtney and she feels like there are digs. And in Jocelyn's
yet another dig.
Jocelyn, I saw something where she said something about the girl when World of Wonder tweeted out the thing about compassion and blah, blah, blah. These girls are all winners, XYZ. Jocelyn said something like, this is funny considering you guys invented the world of drag queen bullying.
Wow.
So I don't ever see her going back on All Stars from her dispatches from the fort nowadays at World of Wonder. But
yeah,
I definitely see how she could feel some sort of way. And I've tried to get her on the pod. I Twittered, I've emailed, I've Instagrammed, no reply. So maybe she still feels some kind of way about it, because they definitely they gave her a third rate edit and she wasn't third rate, you know, and they did it just for story's sake to make Courtney into this bitch. And I could feel some sort of way, too.
Maybe she's not coming on the pod because your drag just isn't at the same level of polish as the other people in the competition.
Oh, we're going to take a break on that one.
We're going to take a break on that one.
Well, we'll take a break on that one.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite, and you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it and she really liked it too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app. Oh, there's my lever for my chair. Oh my gosh, so much better. Oh, look at that. So much better. Oh my God.
My chair's so much better. My chair's so much better than before.
I do it so much better, do it so much better, do it so much better than you. hi, Rosie Q.
Rue's coming in for this walkthrough, and she's telling all the girls that the queens are very near and dear to her heart, in the case that she keeps it in her mantle, and she wants everyone to respect the products in their commercials.
So wait a second. So now, so this is, okay, literally RuPaul goes through the walkthrough for Snatch Game and says, you can't be afraid to be, you can't be too respectful of the person you're impersonating because it won't be funny. And then in the same room says, you need to respect the product. We want you to make us laugh and do funny commercials, but respect the product.
She saw that bullet point on the dossier 5 pages in. Product must be mentioned in only glamorizing light. No derogatory comments made about product. Respect the product at all time. Honey.
Somebody's not respecting the product.
The walkthrough between Dela and Darian is my favorite. Darian says that they're kind of opposites. And then she backtracks that statement, but they kind of are, because Darian's perpetually like digging at herself and self-deprecating, while Dela is constantly positive, overtly so that it's almost the opposite. And you're like, what's going on? Sometimes. So they are water and wine for sure in this. And they keep setting each other up for better jokes on each other. Darian tells Dela to take it away. She's got some notes. And then she starts talking. And then Dela's like, well, girl, blah, 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 blah. And it's like these little digs where it's like toenail clippers stabbing at someone. It's not enough to hurt, but enough for everybody around them just like look like, ooh, these girls don't like each other. And they're playing for mother.
The tension is there, and that's what they wanted. I mean,
you could cut it with a cheese knife.
You could. You absolutely could.
Well, cheese knives are dull. So like,
yeah. So.
Oh, that's why. Oh.
Yeah.
A sharp knife you can cut anything with.
You could cut it like Velveeta toots. Bianca and Trinity, they have a walkthrough. Trinity and Rue kind of get into it.
But Trinity is correct in her statement. And she's like, I'm not going to sell you some false bill of goods. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen when I get out there. Right. The fake it till you make it gene was not in Trinity at that point. Right. And RuPaul is basically saying, honey, I'm keeping you around because you're a good story, but you need to give me something here. You can't just keep giving me gowns. I'm trying to pull you out of your shell. You know, RuPaul's being a producer at this point, and she's giving Trinity one last try, I feel like.
Yeah. So then we get onto the set with RuPaul and Michelle. Adore and Laganja go first. I think they're very funny and very charming. And I also used to own the pink sparkly box that Laganja's holding. It's like a little makeup kit. I think it comes from Target. I used to own it, and I wore it out.
Mm-hmm. I think Adore and Ganja have the best inadvertent comedic moments where they are similar to their characters that they're trying to portray. And it's just it's just a charming little thing. It doesn't feel forced. It's, you know, good skitchery.
Yes, good skitsmanship, for sure.
When you said you wore it out, do you mean you wore it as a purse, or you used it so much you wore it out?
I used that pink sparkly box so much, I fixed it with tape. Like, it was trashed. I used it so much, but I loved it. It was such a cute little box.
So you're saying...
Laganja has one.
You're saying your pink box was so used up and it had tape, it probably had tape residue on it. I know another pink box like that.
A surprise awaits you in your worn out sparkly pink Target box.
Yeah. Speaking of worn out, Courtney.
They look beautiful.
Who, Courtney?
Adore and Laganja?
Oh, yeah, they look beautiful. Courtney gives like Melbourne Mall mom.
Melbourne mom.
Yeah. She's doing a moment. Wait, Courtney's in yellow shorts? I thought she was in a blue top.
The edit surrounding Courtney and Joslyn is an exercise in awkwardness, because it's very like awkward silences just thrown in.
Well, you can tell that RuPaul says the thing, and whosever house this is should say hello. Because you can tell Ru said that not in the spot where it happened. You could tell there was one little section of mistake after the doorbell. They ran through it. Yeah. And then they split that mistake up and made it out of order to make them look like dummies.
And they just both, it looks as though they both just sit there and go, huh?
Huh? Wait, there's cameras? Oh. Yeah. Bleh.
Oh, should I say come in? Because
I live here. Oh, ding,
should I say come
in? Ding dong, ding dong, not dong.
Ding dong, that's on Katya's album.
Drop the clock, but ding dong. I love that song.
Right, it's really funny. Dayla and Darian are very funny, but they don't quite walk the line of selling the product.
Do they respect the product?
They're not respecting the product. It's a new shiny, shimmery lip gloss for your college. Like, literally hilarious. Darian is so fucking funny. Her face, the lip face, she has like crossed eyes and these like sideways lips. I looked like that after I went to
Courtney's guy. Remember, everything's on one side. Get me a hammer. I remember that group.
Honey, I need a rolling pin for that one. I really did.
Darian and Della are very Jennifer Coolidge and Jennifer Tilly, which
very that.
Great comedy references. Breathy bombshell women.
Yes.
I think Trinity was given a boost in this competition by whoever put them together, because Bianca hasn't failed at anything thus far in 6 episodes.
Right. She's very solid.
She's solid. They wanted to give Trinity her best chance of success, and her best chance was Bianca.
Right.
Their commercial is cute. She has one flub, but then she gets it. Michelle is just like on her about the diction, which makes sense because
put a cork in it.
Yeah. I mean, accents do, you know, come into play sometimes where you can't understand what someone's saying. And Michelle, from being from Jersey, I'm sure she's had to deal with that, or trying to do a British accent in Jamie, which from all accounts, from what I heard, was horrible.
Gemma. Everyone's talking about Gemma.
Yeah, apparently they thought she was Indonesian. So far off, it was the British. It was the British consulate, or British. It wasn't even British mainland. She was just doing Jakarta, British.
Jamie. It's very.
And that's on period.
It's very satisfying to see this moment, and we see these later in the season as well. But to see this moment where Trinity really like pulls through, and you can see her like make the switch in her mind. She's like, "I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna have fun with it and do it." And she does great. It's very satisfying to see.
It's also very satisfying to see the next day Courtney being shady, because
abusive.
Honey, I know this so well. I know him so well. Court,
can we do that on the Race Chaser tour in 2022?
I'm so down. Courtney's over there reading Jocelyn.
Girl, from what I've heard from Courtney Act is that
it was playful, right?
It was all done playfully because that's what we do.
But and in then, interview, Jocelyn what? Wasn't. In interview, Jocelyn wasn't playful about it, or she was more plucked.
That's true.
So maybe she was playing like she wasn't offended by Courtney, but in the actual interview chair, she's saying that she, quote, lost some respect for Courtney, that Courtney used to be her idol, and now she's getting dogged out by her.
I mean, well, you need to call your sister.
That's your sister.
You need to tell her to stop abusing Jocelyn Fox.
You don't come to this country and abuse our drag queens unless you're RuPaul.
We get some mirror chats. Darian is like, "You're in my mirror because," to Dayla.
She says a great drag combination word. "You're in my hairia," the area where you do your hair. That's a spelling bee word. I think we need to do the spelling bee again, girls.
That's funny. Darian is so funny.
God, I hope she doesn't lose all that wit now that she's lost half of her size.
I don't think the wit will go out.
Yeah.
I don't think you could take that away.
But who would go out if Courtney and Jocelyn were in the bottom two together? Because they start talking about how they have similar outfits for the runway. And Courtney, without missing a beat, says, "Jocelyn would definitely go home." Like, so confident. And A, she's right, but B, like, shit.
We've never seen Courtney act lip sync for her life. I've never seen Courtney act lip sync.
Courtney knows confidence.
She does.
I've seen instances where Courtney act should have lip synced. if you ever watch Frozen, where she tries to do the original key of Frozen at Revolver after sucking probably 8 penises and doing 10 shots, she couldn't reach that top note even with a grabber claw that I use to get tips now that COVID's happening. Honey, that note wasn't even in the room. That note wasn't even out of the director's notepad yet.
At least point to it?
I think she elbowed it and then it got mad and it slapped her back across the face and said, "Don't point at me, bitch." It's an amazing performance. There's some clunkers out there on the internet. Very few. She has a great voice. She does Shallow at one point, which I think the god said, "Bitch, you will crack on this high note because that is clearly not your song. That is Shanji and Willem's song. It was their movie. You are not in it. You are not allowed to do Shallow. Your resonation and pitch are shallow because they're so off from that note." She is my sister, and I will only tell her the truth.
I love her. In London town, and you are going ham.
Honey, call me Brenda, bitch. Brenda had a baby, and that baby is filled with disdain. And yes, we are taking a break now that I quoted Tupac.
If you're just joining us, this is the Courtney Act Shade Show. All right, we'll be right back.
Honey, she's got all the shade she needs. I put her in a marsupial pouch and shut it.
Oh my God. Can we talk about the main stage?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is RuPaul's Glamazon look, which Glamazon was a fragrance, if I'm not mistaken.
Glamazon is a feel. Glamazon is a lifestyle. Glamazon is a fragrance. Of course it is.
Glamazon is very, very sexy. But she does this look on the packaging of the makeup, and it's also the photograph for the fragrance. So I think they recreated the signature Glamazon look for this runway, right?
Maybe. I would just like to say that Zaldi is best when he works in rainbow and puts RuPaul in like this, these ombre gowns, because it just,
baby,
the eye just travels up her beautiful figure into the hair, the asymmetrical flower. This is pure Matthew and Zaldi at their finest. And later Ru does a gown that's very similar in coloring of this, but it's like scalloped edges with stones on it. And then Swarovski accents at the waist. It's very that. This is the 1.0 version of that gown, which I have screen capped on my phone. It will never be deleted. Just like I'm always showing Howie, kind of like this, you know, this, but this.
Yeah.
If I ever have a gown, if I ever know how to wear something below the knee.
Right.
I will never not give props to RuPaul for these looks, because shit, these are going to be one thing. Someone's going to put all these gowns in an edit one day where it's just 7 minutes of all her gowns, and we're all going to be like gagging and for air by the end, choking, dry heaving, like because gorgeous.
Honey, this look is a brand new day.
After we change the colors in Photoshop.
We don't talk about it. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about Photoshop. Only use a little face to...
We have a couple of amazing guest judges. We have Lainey Kazan and Leah Remini, who's very good friends with Michelle Visage.
Honey, I saw Leah Remini at the Pump and Parlor once, and I said to her, I said, hi, Leah.
Parlor.
I love your show. And she said, oh, yeah, thanks, thanks. Real nice about it. And I was like, I'm one of Michelle's girls. And she's like, oh, you're on her show. Her show. I'm like, yeah, I'm on her show.
And then she said, you're not a Scientologist, are you? Because those guys are dicks.
No.
I fucking hate those guys. She hates Scientology.
Real gregarious gal. Like, yes. I think, and that's not a dig for being ugly.
No, either. I love Leah.
She's beautiful.
Leah Remini. Yeah. I love her.
You ever notice when a girl is ugly, they compliment something personality-wise instead of something... looks wise. Gregarious gal. Real gregarious.
Please welcome to the stage the gregarious, the punctual.
The able to do fractions and times tables. Gina Hyla Brigida.
The runway is black and white. I'm triggered by this because I fell into the bottom on All Stars doing a black and white look with my mom. So,
well, you deserved it. So I'll take it from here. Laganja is first out on the runway, and she has what we would call a lot of look on.
Yes. I like it.
I am fans of multiple parts of Laganja's sheer look with a big platform. It's mostly
the zebra shoe.
I don't understand why it had to be a black panty under the white sheer. I think it could have been a nude panty and it might have fared well. And the mohawk on her head, it's if it would have, you know how when hair loafs are wider than a girl's head, like that's the rule about a hair loaf. The hair loaf needs to be wider than the girl's widest part of her face, her jaw,
in
or
order
her cheekbones.
Right.
Yeah, in order to exude more femininity and make the face look smaller and, you know, just to give that illusion, that hourglass even up there. And Laganja's mohawk is thinner than the widest part of her head, and it kind of gives an alien or more masculine feel than what she would probably want. And the sides where it should be slicked out is kind of puffed out. So the proportions of it are kind of off a little bit. Her makeup is really cool. She has this great reptile thing on her lips that looks like she did like a fishnet while she put on her lipstick over it. There's very cool concepts. I would have loved to see her do this now that she's been doing drag for more than 2 years, because stuff would have been different. She tried, and her presentation is beautiful. She's floating on the runway, giving body illusions, casting shapes. She has air in her train. But
she's casting aspersions, as Delta always says. I want to give props to my mama, Laganja, because she's giving different silhouettes and stories and different character. Like, this is a very different character than what she's given so far, and she's really switching it up and showing variety. So, like, I applaud her for that. Adore Delantro.
They applaud her for that. They applaud Adore for her Forever 21 sweater and her little skirt, because she pulls it off. It's gorgeous. It works.
Yeah. And it's very her. And she looks fierce. She looks sexy. She looks pretty.
It's one of those moments where it feels like a Sharon Needles, where it feels effortless and she didn't put much work into it, but it just works. And yes, other girls will be plucked by it, like Laganja, it
seems. Of course. Bianca Luzon comes down the runway. She's giving this. I love this Bianca look. It's one of my favorites of hers. She's also showing variety. She's got a huge ball skirt. Kind
she's got
of
huge
breakfast
balls in general.
she's got the black hair with the white stripe. Lovely. I mean, it's always an event with Bianca, but this is anyone who says she does the same silhouette or the same dress 100 times, this is proof positive that that's bullshit.
Yeah, honestly, not a hair out of place. She is
never.
She's going to be remembered for hundreds of years in drag. Because of the
she's been
excellence
around hundreds
displayed
of years.
Here. I was trying to compliment the bitch, but that didn't come out well. Trinity.
Trinity
Honey,
K-Bonet.
Honey, Keira Knightley in Domino or Trinity K. Bonet in Domino?
I mean, and this is an instance of someone who comes from the pageant system and the pageant world and then takes pageant, puts it on the Drag Race stage, and sort of makes it so chic and modern and sexy. And I'm obsessed with Trinity K. Bonet, and I love this look.
Yeah, like Laganja, she works her train that's attached. She has wind in it. Unlike Laganja, her loaf is wider than her cheekbones and gives that perfect like dewdrop of a face, that heart shape that you want, not like the more blocky shape. It's how you do a loaf right with any face proportion.
Yes. You better loaf me right. She just does the pageant earring. She doesn't overload it with a pageant necklace. It's edited. It's styled. I'm obsessed. This is fabulous.
Honestly, for someone so young, her style quotient is very, very high. Some girls either just have style or they don't. Like, they know what shoe goes with what outfit. Like,
dress code. It's the fragrance that changes your style.
And that's not another dig on Courtney, but I basically have a backhoe and I'm unloading all this dirt on Courtney. I'm not even sure.
You are a backhoe.
But, like, honestly, Courtney lacks style. And I am a backhoe. Oh, wow. She can always look beautiful, but sometimes she doesn't know what goes with what. She's self-admittedly not been strong on accessorizing and separates in her past life. She's gotten much better. But
you're on the largest soapbox about Courtney Act this episode. You just woke up. And you're literally just on a tirade about Courtney Act.
I love
and her
Courtney
shortcomings.
Act, and we are honored to talk about her every week. These are all jokes, I swear. You know, like Courtney jokes with Jocelyn. Just put some laughter in it.
Bend to the cream. I don't know what she's wearing around her neck, but if there's a snowstorm tonight, it's going on my tires. I love this.
It is high drag, honey. And
deep drag.
She looks like a decorative version of what you would put in the top of a wine bottle as a cork if you didn't finish the bottle.
Put a cork in it, literally.
Honestly, like one of those decorative like corks they would buy from Z Gallery or World Market of fancy Urte lady cork.
Yes.
It's.
I love this look on Dayla. It does that sort of eye illusion silhouette with the white on top of the black on the front.
Honey, this is Yara Sophia's scorpadoodle, half scorpion, half poodle.
After scorpadoodle.
After
honey.
It went to the groomers.
Absolutely. Yes.
This is a pop it on pup before the pup turns into a full scorpadoodle.
Absolutely.
No notes on this Dayla. She looks great. She looks like a drawing of a cartoon drag queen. It's so perfect.
So fabulous.
Darian. Darian is beautiful. holographic sequin on top, black velvet on the bottom, black velvet. Past her knees.
She's got these statement shoulders that puff out. She is not afraid of
taking fucking up space.
Bold silhouettes. I love this. And she just said, I'm going to wear white on the top, black on the bottom. Deal with it. And I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think she looks fucking cool.
I have to give my top two to the week, my top salute, to Courtney Act, because she has a Klaus Nomi reference, which my sister Raya Latray came up with.
Really?
Yeah. This was a Raya thing with the fish, and Klaus Nomi. I'm pretty sure an Australian queen also did it. So when Raya came up with it, Courtney referenced that Australian queen's look. I think it was Dallas De La Force, who's a legend. I would love to see her on Australia Down Under Drag Part 2. She's sickening. Courtney looks great. And this fish now resides on the AAA Girl shelf in Palm Springs.
Really?
Uh-huh. She lives there with the little mini version of the guitar from Star Is Born for me, and then the little pound cake doll from you. So it's a whole little shelf we have where the AAA girls will be together in perpetuity.
Brilliant.
And Courtney,
I love it.
Anytime a queen looks great and can reference another gay icon, like, points for me. Points for her.
Not afraid to reference or not reference. Honestly. Shit on it. Throw it up. Vomit. Never the same. Brilliant. Show-stopping. Genius.
And this is another instance of making your shoulders wider and making everything else look petite. Like, because this is basically what Darian just did, but in a different version. Her legs look great. She's tan. She's beautiful. She is young, even though she is the oldest AAA girl. She looks beautiful, and I love it. Top salute of the week to Miss Courtney Hamilton. Roxanne Debris Act.
Right. And it's a play on serving fish. She has a tray with a fish on it, which is a thing we used to say all the time. We used to say, oh, you're serving fish, serving fish. I always wanted to do a number where I was serving fish, and I literally just come out with, like, giant carp that I get from the market and literally serve it with, like, tongs.
Very Pike Place
Seattle.
Can't do it.
Can't do it anymore.
No, let's do it on Race Chaser, because then that's the only way we'll be able to say serving fish without having a bunch of Twitter teens going, like, you can't say that. That's misogynistic. Because God help the drag queens make a joke. Ooh, playing on gender.
We got the Mac girl here. Who wants the Mac girl? You want the Mac girl?
Oh, no, honey. I'm a Mac girl, not a Mac crawl.
And finally, we have Jocelyn Fox.
Giving magician assistant Ho, which I'm not mad at. But there are some similarities to last week's ensemble, which are very prevalent. She takes a risk. She wears her boy hair. She likes her top hat. Her body looks banging. Her body is like...
I mean, her body looks sickening.
Courtney came out doing legs, and then Jocelyn came out doing legs and body.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. Of course, the critique is... she could have put on a short little cropped wig and gotten the same line, but without, I don't know. Or shaved her head off completely.
Michelle gives a critique about her hairline giving boy when it's a squared up shape, so it does give boy, but she could have thrown on a little Brigitte Nielsen bus driver, something little under that top hat, because then she could have taken her top hat off and, pulled a bunny out or something.
Rose petals.
They're pink. That wouldn't go with the runaway.
Poison rosebud.
Maybe.
It's
maybe,
the fragrance that changes your style.
Maybe white oleanders.
Let's take a break. G'day.
G'day.
I love that Raya you're wearing tonight.
Oh, thanks. I put a tour under it just to give it a bump. Because bumps.
Love that Raya. Mm. Oh, you got a bump. Give me one.
Oh, no.
Brenda.
There was only one left in the bag, Brenda. No,
Brenda,
no.
Brenda, no, call me.
I turned the bag inside out, Brenda. There's none left. Shall we steep it into tea? Oh, you have tea. We'll just do that. Okay, great. We're back for the Down Under minute with our Down Under queen.
The Down Under digest, Brenda.
The Down Under digest. We're basically
let's see. We're gonna check in about what's happening with Drag Race Down Under.
Oh, check in's not till three. Sorry. You can wait. You can wait in the lobby if you want. No. Call David.
Segment we call the Down Under Digest. The dog's dinner digest.
Damn.
My name is Latrice Royale.
And I'm Manila Luzon.
And this is your Down Under Digest.
On episode 7 of Drag Race Down Under, it's time for a good old-fashioned talent show. Did these girls get all the applause?
Applause. Then the queens have to put their best headdress on and impress Mama Ru. But Manila, were you impressed?
Oh, bitch, I was impressed. One of the best runways of the season. Plus, Electra Shock is here on the chop with us.
Yes. So for more recaps of season 1 of RuPaul's Drag Race Down Under,
check out the chop every Thursday here on the Mom Network.
We are back, and we're going to get into the judges' critiques. Did you notice they do the critiques out of order?
I feel like, no, I didn't notice it, but...
Yes, because Adore and Laganja are standing first on stage, and that was the order that they walked, but the first team to get critiqued on their commercial was Bianca and Trinity. I don't know why they did it. Sometimes they do these things.
Yeah, they've had our runways out of order in my season 2 and our critiques out of order, so I understand.
Out of order! I'm talking!
Reclaiming
Maloney.
All that. Bianca and Trinity, they were the best on the runway tonight as a pair. Both of them were strong.
Absolutely.
Both of them, you and I admittedly have no notes on.
No notes.
No notes.
Like Courtney singing, no notes. Or hit.
Thank you for joining in the revelry.
I'm just kidding.
Isn't it nice on the dark side?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay.
Also,
Bianca and Trinity, they both get good critiques.
But noteworthy was Trinity actually breaking the motherfucking dawn. This was her breakthrough. She got past her own self, her own head. And, sometimes it just takes an older queen to show you the way, like Bianca.
Yeah. Right.
Laganja and Adore, they got the most genuine laughs and chuckles out of their commercial. But Michelle is quick to add, but Adore was the stronger of the two. Michelle really just does not like Laganja, it seems.
Michelle was like, this is bullying. I don't like the characters, the bullying.
It's like, and they were literally told to be mean girls. It's like,
literally they were called the mean, But they did the best job of, we're going to actually talk about the product and sell the product and also be cute and also be cunty. So I think they definitely fit the bill for this.
The way that I think Drag Race has set up Michelle Visage as an adversary for the girls at times is laughable because the way they gave her, if she was a contestant, she would complain about this edit, like saying like, oh, this is bullying. And then literally the cut is her making a bullying statement to Laganja and then praising Laganja's competitor, therefore endangering Laganja's precarious mental health without weed even more. Like, they're just putting Ganja through it, and it hurts to see it because she is doing her best.
She's being pushed.
She
for
is,
sure.
and they're really
week after week.
You can tell they're trying to break her on the runway. And Trinity talks about this in Untucked about girls trying to be broken on the runway, and and Laganja and Dayla both trying to not give in to breaking on the runway, and Michelle saying, "Oh, I only see a character with you." And Michelle's right because she only sees these girls when she's on stage, when they're on stage. She's not in the workroom. She's not watching the dailies. And some of these girls on stage do present more of a character because that's what we do when we're in drag. And Michelle's critiquing drag queens for putting on a bit of a character is laughable. But, you know, it makes for good television. So we get it, Michelle.
Lainey Kazan is a hilarious guest judge. She's like, I didn't know if the commercial was about surgery or drugs.
Her hair looks like a penis.
A penis in a bandage. That's rough. Come on. Dela is not in a costume. This is what Ben de la Creme looks like.
I mean,
everyone is in a gown with gloves on. That is what Ben de la Creme is wearing.
I feel like you're hiding.
You're hiding behind a character.
I have the same comments and thoughts about you, about that as you. And she does look like a fancy lady on a slot machine. But that is not a character per se. That is Ben de la Creme, my sister.
Yes. Wait, painted on a slot machine or playing a slot machine?
Painted, no, like a fancy decorative lady that would be holding the black cards, and then there would be a red version holding the red cards. It's very that, the pointy neck thing. She is giving me Atlantic City elegance.
Yes, absolutely.
Vegas vixen.
Right.
Hailing from the great state of Seattle, Ben de la Creme.
Jocelyn and Courtney, the makeup didn't really hit on the makeup in the commercial. It was a little unclear what was happening. They didn't hit the mark. And Jocelyn kind of got dog walked in the runway department.
She definitely did. Michelle was not pulling any punches. She was grabbing Jocelyn by her invisible wig, pulling her head back and hitting her from behind. Which is something I've almost done to a couple girls. But you can listen to Patch Podge for more on that.
Absolutely.
Who's Leah?
Leah Remini.
Leah Remini.
Oh.
You know, they get into it on the judging panel.
I was like, Leah Michelle. I was like, I hate her.
They were definitely auditioning for their own, like, WoW Presents web series with this back and forth between Michelle Visage and Leah Remini. I mean, it is very entertaining to watch that these two good old sisters, and Leah's like, I don't get it. I'm trying to explain it to you. Well, I still don't get it.
My favorite part is when Leah's defending Laganja's look and, like, trying to say, like, she sees the effort Laganja put in, and then yes. Michelle's like, but you like their commercial, and Leia's like, no, actually I hated it. Like, just the misdirect, the comedy
not
button
helpful.
Of that, that is
not
from
helpful.
A comedian who's done, you know, 20 years of sitcoms, the timing of it. I mean,
yeah,
she's
sickening.
Yeah,
I like her.
I like is it Leah or Leia? I don't know how to say it.
Leah Remini, I believe, is the exact pronunciation.
I was going to say it's Leah Remini.
That's what I said. Thank you, Dipper.
Who won?
Okay. The winners are Adora and Laganja, and they each win a sickening supply from Lather Skin Products.
The fuck? What the fuck is a Lather Skin Product? Goodbye.
We're going to be doing ads for them. So
Michelle continues on the cunt streak. And she, after the win is announced, Laganja says, I'm shocked, genuinely. And Michelle pipes up, me too. Like, wow.
So why? She just won. She just won the challenge. Michelle reading her.
Michelle may have the vaccine, but she is always contagious.
Contagious.
When I give a critique, contagious. After you win the mini challenge, contagious. The safe girls are Courtney.
La 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 la. Courtney, Jocelyn, Trin, and Bianca are safe. And of course, the bottom two end up being Dela and Darian. I don't remember this episode. Watching it, I was very shocked. I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is going to happen? Because I'm doing the math of who ends up staying. And I'm like, does Dela go home this soon?
Same thing. I was like, I know Dela's fifth because fifth place is like a noted congeniality spot usually.
Right. And I was noted fashion photographer Nigel Barker.
Yeah, I was like, this must be a double Shantae. And it was a good one.
The point of no return.
The air drumming, the hitting all the beats. Darian looks like she's done this song before on stage. And Ben looks like he could have done this on stage, but yeah.
They both do really beautifully. My favorite moment was during the instrumental break. Darian takes tips from the fake audience.
Oh, yeah.
Grabs the tips. Honey, pick the cabbage. You got to do it.
Honey, you planted the seed. Now see the harvest.
Honey, I planted the seed. Now we'll see the harvest.
Honey, and I saw some of those dollars. Those were bib lettuces, artisanal greens. I think there was some kale. She was picking it. She was picking it.
Darian, Shantae, you stay. And Ben de la Creme, we hope that you have had an amazing journey here.
Because it's not over. I want to see more.
Nobody goes
it
home.
It got me. And I've seen this season 100 times. It got me, that moment. I mean, and it got Ben, too.
Honestly, honestly, I think what they wanted to see the real. They wanted to see, I mean, when they say they want to see vulnerability, it doesn't mean crying every time, but they wanted to crack Ben and to get behind this bitch that's been winning and perfect. So they emotionally manipulated her to the point where she thought she was going home and crying and then said, no, you can stay, because they wanted to crack the bitch. And they did.
How dare a queen just do great every week? How dare she? The winner of this season, I'm telling you, is not going to be someone who just does great every single week. Okay.
The winner of this season is not going to be someone who just sews the same dress every week. But this is a cue for the time for, you know what time it is. It's Del Rio.
Remembrances.
Recollection remembrances. With our favorite gal, Bianca Del Rio.
There she is. Let's hear from Bianca.
Blame it on Del Rio.
Baloney!
What made you decide to audition for Drag Race finally? Was it me and Sharon running the hospitality tent at the season 5? Well, it can't be because you said you got on that day.
No. You weren't at 5. It was your season. So no, you were, no, Sharon, you weren't you there with Sharon at 4? Or who was the one before that?
I met you first at 5 because Michelle and everybody was telling me to go find Vicky and Dee, and I was annoyed and couldn't find them. So we went from opening to closing, and we were in that little curtained off size, 6 by 6.
That's where Bunny and I used to dress. Yeah.
That was where I met you.
You and Sharon were cunts at some event that I just thought, because I was asking who was next or what was going on. And it was very funny because it was just like this moment of like me interrupting you two. And I can't remember if it was either you or Sharon. But it was very funny because, well, we can't blame everything on her. I do blame a lot on you. But I laughed at, like, it was something like to the effect of, I was like, well, you need to know who's next. They were like, who are you? Kind of a thing.
I was the one that said, who are you? Because I didn't know who you were. I was like, who are
and
you?
I was just like, alrighty. And I thought, fuck these old ugly hoes. And that was in my brain. And then there was also, I had seen, you know, being in New York, I saw Manila that went on the show, who's, you know, not talented or interesting. And she got exposure. So I thought, if this talentless troll can get on there, then why can't I? So all of that was an influence. And also, Mimi, I'm First was another one because I knew her for many years in New York before that. And when did it, I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of great exposure for people. Like, why not do it? But I wasn't a huge diehard fan of the show, watching it every night like everybody was at the time.
Right.
Oh, she was so correct.
She does everything right. She makes all the right moves.
What doesn't she do right? Slowly.
Slowly. We live. Did you watch Untucked?
I did, yeah. Untucked has a great moment that I liked where Trinity, like, basically comes into her power and tells that whole room, you need to have more confidence. This is why you're great.
It was nice.
Don't let this competition break you. There's nothing wrong with the critiques that Trinity was, and everybody in that room, Ganja, Ben, Jocelyn, they were all getting critiques about how they were staying true to themselves and keeping their poise and presenting themselves in the dignified manner they wanted to, which may not have been like the warts and all look that reality TV RuPaul's Drag Race wanted from them. But Trinity turns that on its head and says, you're doing exactly what you should. You're great. And she gives this wonderful pep talk to the room, which is great. Yeah, because
that was nice.
Ben is like, you know, he's like, I'm giving them me. This is me. Della is like the most intimate part of me because it's something I created myself. Me. Exactly.
Courtney reads Jocelyn
again.
Courtney tells Jocelyn, your drag just isn't as polished as the other drag queen in the competition,
honey. And damn. Just like, and saying it when a girl thinks she might be in the bottom at that point, that's rough.
It's rough.
That's Courtney's giving dermabrasion for free to Jocelyn.
Scaldration. We get an Alyssa's secret, which kind of doesn't really land in the room. I mean, the only person living for it is Laganja, who's like, yes, God, Mama. She's like lip syncing along with Alyssa's like sayings, like, yeah, yes, Mama, yes, God. Everyone else in the room is just like, like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. I do like that, that they show the top four girls just being utter bullies.
Oh my God. They're like, does anyone even talk like that?
They basically said, we're going to put these four girls in a room. Oh, you girls are the ones that'll talk the most shit. How about you be the top four? Yeah. This was when the writing was definitely on the wall. At first, they started out real cool. And then they just went in for the juggler. Adore went for her friend, Ganja. She was very clear on what she thought about that. But, you know, these are just things drag queens talk about each other while another girl's out on stage. Like, oh, she's wearing that gown again, you know?
Right.
We get it. Yeah. It happens. And they give you prompts to talk about the other girls in the room. So it's not of like course. They were like, do you guys want to get rotted about our sisters? They were made to talk about it. So,
of course.
It makes sense.
Well, we thank you so much for listening. For joining us for Race Chaser Classique this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love for you to write a review of our podcast on your preferred podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast by hitting subscribe on your podcast app. Take a moment to leave us a rating, too.
That's right. And peekaroo, we see you.
Ooh.
So head on over to Instagram, where a surprise awaits you in your big pink furry Instagram accounts, which are at Willem, at the only Alaska 5000, at Race Chaser Pod, and at Mom Podcasts.
Plus, as previously aforementioned, we have bonus content at patreon.com/Willem, and you can find us by searching Race Chaser in the little search box at the top. We have tons of content, and you can watch it all for literally a dollar. Hit it.
That's right. You can email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com/drag.
Stay safe, get the vax, socially distance yourself, and please wear a mask, especially if you're ugly or unsightly, and respect each other out in the world.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.